You're tuning in to Chatting with Charity.
What's up, you guys? So we kind of messed up because your girl done forgot to hit record. So we are riding right now, but you're going to have to go back to the Instagram channel of Chatting with Charity and catch the beginning of this ride because it was bomb. So I'm going to pick up where I left off and you are going to go and capture that beginning of the ride on that platform. And that's again on Instagram or YouTube on Chatting with Charity. So we're going to continue. I just told you guys this story of what happened to me as a younger girl and how that tragedy at 8 years old affected me all the way till 29. And I realized that I have to stop being so hard on myself. I have to stop feeling like I got to defend myself or that I'm alone or that no one's listening to me or I'm not enough. All of these negative ideas and characteristics of myself that I picked up, and you know, you probably would never notice that I have those characteristics or that I even think some of those things about myself because I portray myself as a very, very bubbly, confident, and energetic person. And while all of those things remain to be true, I can definitely have this moment of honesty and say that I used my confidence as a protection. I used my confidence as a border, and I used my confidence as a place to stop myself from being taken advantage of because of what I experienced as a little girl. And I feel like it was the joy inside of me that actually put me in that position. And it was my lovingness and my kindness and my genuine affection that put me in that position. And it made me want to just be so cold to the world. It made me want to control as much of what people saw about me so that if they saw a confident Charity, then they couldn't attack me. They couldn't try to come for me. So I built an attitude and I built a mouth. Anyone from high school knows me that I was always quick to go to a 0 to 100, like very, very fast. I feel like it just came or comes from that space of no one's going to defend me. And everywhere I look, there's a possibility for someone to try to manipulate me or take advantage of me. Now, I definitely had a lot more challenges in my life where I started to realize that this fake confidence that I had built was still getting me in the same problems and challenges. I couldn't figure out why, because they always say, you know, you attract the things that you give out into the world. And I don't believe that. I truly believe that darkness will come for you, whether you're in a good space or whether you're in a bad space. It's your opportunity to have the right arsenal, because darkness and evil is very clever. And every time I thought I was getting stronger, it was getting stronger. And the attacks were just coming from left and right and in places and in positions where I was really like, yo, am I growing or is this just going to be my life like this for the rest of my life? So when I got to 25 and I faced a similar incident and a similar tragedy, I was so heartbroken. And can you imagine your mother passing away and then having to reface your youngest self without your mother? It was the most painful 5 years of my life, and I feel like I suffered so many losses back to back to back to back to back. One of the things that I struggle with when it comes to dating is that it's very easy for me to move on from situations or things that are painful to me because I've lived my whole life learning to process a significant amount of pain very rapidly. One of the easiest ways to get past grief is to just get past it and to just swallow it and move on. And it doesn't mean that you don't care about the people in your life, but it's just saying that I have a threshold of what I can handle. And as I get older, I'm just giving myself permission to not have to constantly process this much pain, especially when it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary to constantly feel like the people around you aren't sensitive to what has happened to you in your life or to your story. When we don't tell our stories to people, then we don't create the proper boundaries. People need boundaries on how to deal with us. There are certain things that are red flags and things that make us tick and inner things that make us want to combust on people. And we end up looking crazy. Oh, that person doesn't know how to control their emotions. No, it's just that you crossed over into a space in my life that's very vulnerable. And maybe because you don't know it, you're doing it unknowingly, but it's still affecting me and it's still bringing out a toxic trait in me. I try my best to be vulnerable because in truth, as painful as it is to admit things that have happened to us and things that are embarrassing to us, it still gives us freedom. And the one thing I can say in my life is that I am free as a bird, baby. There is nothing that is bounding me down or holding me down. I don't feel comfortable always telling my business or telling my feelings, but for sure, I have freedom. I have genuine freedom to accept all that I've been through in my life. So let's just get back to the story, because I don't want to belabor y'all with all of my, you know, rah, 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 la, la, la. We all got some sad stories, right? So here I am, and I'm growing up, and I'm spending this time between 8 and 28, and I'm rediscovering who I am. Life is happening for me in a very internal way. I didn't realize that every time I could feel things, sense things, see things, that I was developing this discernment. One thing about me y'all might know to be true is that I know how to give a message in a very clear way. But a lot of that was built off of my tears and crying in my bedroom at night by myself, trying to figure out what is happening in my life and the life around me. I grew up in a middle-class family. You know, what is middle-class? Like, you ain't on food stamps. My mother was a nurse. She made good money. One point she made six figures and stuff like that. You know, we had our own cars in 10th grade. We both went to college, both meaning my sister and I, and my mother went to college too. So we were just part of what people would call a successful household. And we had no option and we had no choice, because when you're brought up in the African community, there's an expectation for you to do certain things. For Americans, their expectation is to wake up and to continue being an American. For us, no. You just have to do some things. You just have to be. Like, you just can't be out here being, I don't know, a hooligan. You can't be a hooligan. You have to be something, like a doctor, a lawyer, or just like me, being an entrepreneur who's super fabulous. That's totally acceptable as well. So some other tragedies that I feel like, or I won't even call them tragedies, but some other impactful moments in my life was when I was dating this guy in high school. It's so funny because at our 10-year reunion, I saw him and I was like, oh my God, please let him be at the reunion, because I really, really want to tell this guy what our relationship meant for me. I know we should not be talking about no daggone relationships from high school, but this particular relationship took me for a doozy. It was the first time I realized that hate is real. I really love this guy. He was fine. I was trying to figure out how I even got a guy that cute, because I felt like I wasn't that beautiful. Remember, I had false confidence. So I would walk around like I was beautiful, like I felt like I was popping and all that good stuff. But that was just me creating a shell. And this is me being very honest. So shout outs to all my, you know, riders who knew me when I was younger. That joint was fake, but this joint is real. It is lit. And now this is really, really, really who I am. But back then I was very, 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 very insecure and very, very well known. It's funny how you can build yourself up in the presence of other people while inside of your heart, you're just tearing yourself down with lack of self-worth and value. Praise God, we back and we popping and doing what we do. In that relationship, I had such a loving, loving connection with my boyfriend. It was a sexless relationship. It was so beautiful. After being robbed of my ability to be affectionate with people and trust people, and to have that was a beautiful thing. But baby, his mother, oh my God, his mother really, really dug at my idea of self-worth and feeling like I could even have this really handsome, athlete, kind, compassionate, sweet. I mean, writing me poems and telling me all these amazing things. You guys don't understand. When you're a little girl and you're trying to figure out who you are in the world, you're doing things in a fake way, and you meet somebody who gives you honest compassion, you want to cling to that. But this mother of his, she would find other girls for him to try to talk to. I would go to football games and see her sitting with other girls in the school that he wanted her to be with. It was the first time I really felt colorism within the Black community. And I felt like as a dark-skinned girl, she didn't want her son to be with that kind of a girl, and kept thinking, oh, I would get pregnant and all these kinds of things. And it really tore a beautiful relationship apart because that particular woman was able to make me feel like I wasn't worth it. I would go and cry to my mom and I'd be like, yo, what is this? Like, what can I do about this? And she just said, baby, you know, if someone's mother doesn't like you, then it's never going to work out. And can you imagine going all your life trying to figure out how to find some type of love in this world? And when you get it, it is poked at by a bear. It was a small moment in my life. No, it wasn't small. It was like a good 2.5 to 3 years. But it kind of impacted how I had relationships with men from then on. Just a lot of dysfunction and a lot of feeling like I'm not enough. And it all stemmed from that relationship. Even though he himself was a wonderful person to me, I began in future relationships anticipating that things would fail and not ever feeling like I would be enough or worthy. It was always like this compounding effect of charity. You're not enough. What do you have to offer? And God would be on the back end pumping me up like, no, don't think that. Don't believe that. Don't see that I got great plans for you. I'm like, well, these plans aren't adding up that great because I'm finding myself in all of these situations that honestly make me feel I'm not worth all the things that you're telling me that I'm worth. I continue to live life and go through college and stuff like that. And at this time, my relationships with people in my family started to become combative. As you guys know, I have a sister and we don't speak to each other. That is a touchy subject to me because people always wonder, why is it that you guys aren't communicating? And the why doesn't necessarily matter. What matters is that I'm okay with it. I'm really, really okay with it because at some point in life, you start to realize it's not necessary that everybody love you just because they're a part of your inner circle or a part of your family. The peace of mind to know that in your heart, you are enough and no one else has to add more value to you in order for you to be what God has created you to be. So the more that I was able to see myself through God's eyes, I stopped looking at the people who were closest to me to affirm and confirm who I was as a person. I started shifting from losing this idea of the charity that I created that was safe and comfortable and transitioning over to this super vulnerable emotional charity who I was extremely afraid would be torn down because now people would really know how soft I am. I am soft, you guys. I am not a tough girl. I might come off tough. I might talk that rah, 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 but I am not a rough girl. Everything about me is mushy, gushy, romantic, loving, and just bubbly. You guys, this ride is happening live, so you can hear the traffic in the back, and I usually record my rides in the middle of the night because of this situation, but it's all right, y'all. Just pretend like we're on the highway right now. Anyways, a lot of my relationships in my life made me feel unworthy of true affection and true relationships. I just became an introvert. I processed all of my emotions internally. I lived my dreams, my thoughts, and my desires internally. I just started to be this girl in the movie I love called Little Princess. I would create this dream world in my head and I would say, God, if only I could get to here and here, then I would be one step closer to having a family that could love me and having siblings and sisters and friends and neighbors and people who thought that I was amazing and I thought they were amazing. And if only I could get here, then I could get this and that. And you guys, when my mother passed away, all my hopes and dreams that carried me to the point of 24 vanished. I now felt if I was ever close to true freedom in my life to be who I knew I am in the inside, it was not gonna happen. Because now I had to hit the reset button. And that's where my relationship with my sister began to crumble. One thing I tell y'all about is these little funny money stories that I've had. And y'all, when my mother passed away, I came up on some coin. Okay, honey, I came up on some coin. I was not prepared for how that coin was going to literally fall on my head. I was not prepared for the responsibility of money. I saw the true root of evil and how money can empower, propel, and fuel evil activity on a large scale. And I kept thinking, like, bro, how did I get here? My little behind, all I'm praying for is a husband and a kid and a couple of businesses here and there. Ain't no rush, God. I didn't ask for this overnight. So I went from being an employee, an executive assistant, to being a whole CEO with people who were waiting on me to make decisions in healthcare, and I wasn't even a nurse. I was like, wait a minute. Now, I know I've been here from the very beginning, but I don't know how to run an infrastructure. This is where I started to feel again that I was not worthy or enough as an entrepreneur, yo. I was like, how did I get this title? I don't want this. Like, this is too soon. I was planning to move to Kenya and live a life of, I don't even know what, figuring out how I was going to be Wendy Williams in Kenya and how I was going to use my American personality to get me through some doors because people love to listen to an American speak. But I went from that to being in a office by myself dealing with things that I literally was like, how? I don't even know, who am I supposed to ask? My mother was the brains behind this machine. It wasn't me. I was just a responsible servant. I found myself feeling more and more and more worthless of everything in my life. I felt worthless of every single dime I had, so I gave it away. I felt worthless of my body, so I entertained negative relationships. I felt worthless of my spirituality because I couldn't do anything with it, so I turned away from God. I felt worthless as a CEO, so I didn't want to work. I was like, yo, like, can I just take a year off? Can I just run away? I wanted to leave this life that I literally was forced to take responsibility of, but I did not choose. So imagine being an 8-year-old little girl, can't even remember the years before, but the ones you can remember, you felt like you weren't enough all your life, and now you have all these responsibilities, and you hadn't even built the spiritual competence to pioneer through this stuff. I had to learn about who I was while I was going through the pits of hell. I call that bad boy spiritual boot camp, where they say if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. The rod was hot. I'm telling you, I was in the furnace. I was definitely in a very, very low point in my life when I realized that I didn't have any family around me. And the people who I had, they didn't have my back. My story wasn't important to them. What I was going through wasn't important to them. Nobody came to me and cared about anything I was going through. I was dealing with month after month, tragedy after tragedy. I mean, just imagine the cops coming to drag you out of your own office space and tell you you don't belong there. Something that you inherited. You inherited, and you are physically removed off that location and told you can never come back. And I sat and I was like, In what world is this even legal? In what world are people even allowed to do this? In what world is my own blood doing this to me? How worthless does this make me? Even in my own inheritance, I have no place. That I'm just tossed off. Oh my God, I could cry. That I'm just tossed off to have to figure it out on my own. And I did. So I spent 5 years like, you know what, God? If nobody wants me, I know you do. Because since I was a little girl, you always made sure that you reminded me that you have big plans for me. And I just had to continue to have faith in you that I would get to that final stage of my life where I could stand up and look at everything that I've been through and still be proud of all the work you did in me. Oh my God, you guys. I don't like to think about some of these things because it holds me accountable. And it reminds me of how, even though it's been a short amount of time, a lot has happened. And I think that, like, when we don't go back in life and try to figure out where the narrative shifted and where things changed, we don't really see our growth and we don't see the power of what God has been doing in our life. And in my life, God has been strengthening the mess out of me. And I'm like wondering, how am I able to even run all of these businesses and produce all of these ideas? You guys, I had a multi-million dollar company in my lap with no dollar and no dime, and my other half dipped out on me. I went from not being enough to having all of the work to do and not knowing anything, nothing. I was like, yo, how come I don't get to run? Like, I should have ran first. Like, what was I doing sitting here? I should have had my escape route. But God was putting me in a position to... Thank you, Holy Spirit. God was putting me in a position to run a multi-million dollar company with no money to see how responsible I would be, to see what I would do with whatever I had. And I pulled my money out of my account to fuel and run that business. And I wasn't even sure if I was going to get it back. I went from zero to secure God's purpose and God's plan. And because of that, I promise you, money and I, we have a good relationship. Because now I know I'm not bound to it, and I know it's not negative and it's not evil, and that God supplies all of my needs. And I'm very, very thankful for the position that I'm in financially. But it's when you are humble and when you do good with what God has given you, He will give you your portion for you to enjoy. It's just like the king, the man, the leader who was like, hey, you know, I'm going to give you one gift, give you five gifts, give you two gifts. And child, let's read our Bibles better. When he came back, everyone was like, hey, you know, here's what you gave me. I doubled it. But the guy with one gift didn't double it. He buried it because he was afraid. And I didn't let the fear of the unknown stopped me. I was able to go from having no money running this business to being able to run my very own home care agency with the seed of my own money, and it takes care of me and it feels good and the people love me and there's no pressure. I went from a high pressured situation to being in a space where I can open multiple businesses at one time because they are running effortlessly. There are many ways to get to success. Some people get to it and then they die because of it. And then there are others who just seem to look like it is an effortless process. I believe that comes from you allowing God to use the business to develop you instead of you thinking you're developing a business. You're not. The reason why I am successful in home care and healthcare is because I understand compassion. I understand what it is when people are not seen, when they're not enough, when people are not there for them, when people don't hear them, when people don't listen to the needs of their heart, when people are not there for you and they're not there to defend you and root for you. And everyone that comes in my life, y'all know I root and I fight for that because I know that God was my encouragement. God was my fighter. God had the final say on what I thought about myself. And I think so many of us don't allow God to direct our lives and our mind frames so that what the world thinks of us and what the world puts us through doesn't become our final result, or it doesn't become the big title in the newspaper that says, oh, Charity, you are garbage. You're not enough. It becomes literally the tiny fine print at the very, very bottom where nobody can even get to because the article is so long about so many amazing things you're doing that the darkness that has came after you cannot taint the God inside of you. I am so honored to be able to have this position in this platform to share with you just how God uses people and how God uses you and how God is going to transform you. So anyways, y'all, I'm in these 5 years in my life, right? I ain't got no family, child. All of my friends are disappearing like cockroaches with some good spray, okay? You know, when you get that spray out, you shh them bad boys and they, bruh. That's how all of my relationships were going. My romantic relationships were so awful. I mean, I was attracting the most manipulative, disgusting people. And they were coming after everything I had. And when I tell you that the enemy will use anybody in your life, it is so true. I mean, he was getting strangers to rob me. How a stranger pull up on you and rob you, yo? How'd that happen? But what they do is they mask as what you need. And they mask as your needs. And they mask as your your idea of not being enough. And it just comes at you in ways where it's like, baby, you got to uproot that thing, because if you don't uproot that thing, it is going to keep coming for you. I was in very bad relationships. I mean, one dude I was dating, no lie, got locked up while I was dating him, and I gave him money to get out of jail, and he didn't even get out of jail or give me my money back. I was like, bro, you should have stayed in jail. So if he hears this ride, I'm going to need him to know that I have set my angels to come and collect my debt. It is not going to come back to me in void. Look, I had terrible, terrible relationships. You guys know I love love so much. My greatest dream in life is to be a wife and to be a mother. It really, really, really is. Nothing to me is more important, which is why I feel like I have so much trouble in that area of my life, because I know that God is still teaching me to submit to Him, because the moment I get a baby, I'm going to lose it. I'm just going to literally be so obsessed. And I know that God wants me to continue to build His empire and His kingdom. So that's why you guys see me going in overdrive, because I want to prove to God that I'm worth this next season of my life. And that's the only person in the world that you can prove yourself to is God. We don't have to prove ourselves to men. We don't have to prove ourselves to our lovers or to anybody else in this world. The most important person we have to prove ourselves to is God. And when we do that, we get rewarded tenfold. So my tenfold is just this life that I dreamt about. And I told you guys, I thought got further away from me. But in actuality, when I conquered those 5 years of my life, my dreams got right to the tip of my tongue. You know, be like, that's literally where my dreams are at. And I'm so excited about life, man. I can create so many beautiful things. I can think so many amazing thoughts. It's limitless, limitless. Before, I lived my whole life at full capacity. It's good when you're able to operate at full capacity, but it's bad when you gotta keep creating and cranking stuff out and you can't do it because literally life has got you by the throat. Now, what did I do to move past all of this grief and loss? Because I lost my whole life, yo. My whole life, even down to the fact that I was living in the city and I got, I'm gonna call it displaced, because, you know, I didn't have to move out because I told y'all I had the money to stay, but I felt like, let me go back home. And I was literally sitting in the home that my mom lived in and looking at all the walls, like causing my depression to get worse because misery loves company, right? And all these things are happening to me and I'm in this home and, you know, I'm being torn this way by my sister, torn that way by friends and fake lovers and all these different things. And I was like, God, I am not enough for this situation. Why would you give me these burdens this way? Why would you pile them up? You didn't think to space some of these things out. How am I supposed to survive? I was in survival mode for a long time. But what people don't understand about survival mode is that when you are constantly trying to survive instead of execute and just do it with true faith and confidence, you miss out on the joy of the journey. I travel the world. I was able to see it, meet beautiful, amazing people. I was able to fight some people I didn't like. Glory to God, I'm glad I'm becoming a better person, but I was able to stand up for myself and knock some people out who was really trying to try me and think like just because I'm some mushy gushy charity that I wasn't gonna pop their behinds back. But I was very happy for the ability to do that, because sometimes we don't do it no more because we got things to lose. But when you don't got nothing to lose, listen, you know, I felt good defending myself. Now I'm in a beautiful space, you guys. The death of my mother doesn't impact me the way it could have and should have, because I really thought that my life was over. Like, it was over. Like, what purpose did I have now that my mom was gone? Do I ever want a wedding? What's the point of having more money? Where do I live at, yo? I don't know where I belong. That's another thing, trying to find a home. A home. I didn't have a home, you guys. You might not like your parents. You might not like your siblings, but at least people had homes. I had no home. It was like mind blowing to me. And I was like, what did I do to deserve this life? And now I'm here. What I was getting is this moment of total freedom and total transparency, total purpose. I have all the resources in my life to make my life happen the way that God always told me it would be. I'm just happy. I'm so happy that I didn't give up. I'm so happy that I didn't believe the narrative that the enemy tried to tell me through any channel possible in my life. I submit this to you. In this season, you are enough. You have everything inside of you. And even the things that were negative to you, that were done to you, the things that, you know, should have never happened to you, God is going to use those things. I do intend to be in a position where I can help people who have been through sexual abuse and not been able to overcome it. I can help people who have lost family members, like their mother and their father, at such a young age and feeling lost and not knowing how to go through it. I have learned to deal with persecution.
public embarrassment for things you never did and for people to tell you to your face in the courtroom that you are a liar and the things that happened to you never happened to you. I've been able to overcome those things. I wear those as badges of honor because now I understand why. I understand why God gave me those tasks, why he gave me those tasks at a rapid pace, and why I was able to flawlessly execute them. And it's because I leaned into God when I couldn't lean into myself. I trusted him when the world was just useless. I hope that this ride gives you, I don't even know what, because I didn't have a plan here. And I was like, you know, God is telling me, like, really tell them the truth, like share your heart with them for real, like be vulnerable and continue to pour my story into the platform so that I'm not just giving advice, but I'm showing you guys how God is practically doing things in my life. I pray that you listen to this again, that you share this with people who you feel are trapped and stuck and need to be released from whatever burdens and embarrassments that they have accepted as theirs to carry for their life. We are in a beautiful season. God is going to show up miraculously. I love you so much, and I thank you for this ride. This is my truth, and I'm just Charity.
Don't forget to rate this podcast, share, like, and subscribe. See you next Thursday on Chatting with Charity, and don't forget to bring your friend. Until then, you can find us on Instagram at Chatting with Charity.